One of the most powerful principles about life and Judaism that I've learned is the following. Hashem judges us the way we judge other people. And I believe this principle can be proven and shown to be absolutely true. You know, in life, we are all called upon at times to be judges, to stand in judgment. If indeed we are a judge, that is our job. If we are decision makers and policy makers, at times we have to stand back, look at what we see and make judgment calls and direct things in a particular way. However, what we sometimes misunderstand is that in regular societal interaction with other human beings, we dare not stand in judgment. If we are not called upon to judge people and to judge their actions, then it is not our job to do so. I am often gobsmacked at how many statements of the sages there are, three different ones in Pirkei Avot and so many others, about judging other people favorably. We all know the statements. Pirkei Avot in chapter 1, Yehoshua ben Prachya says, Hevei dan et kol ha'adam l'chav sechut. Judge the entire person meritoriously. See the other side of the story. Always judge people favorably. Al tadin et chavercha ad shetagia limkomo. Don't judge another human being, another person, until you are in their place. And many, many others. And I believe the only way to create a foolproof way of not speaking Lashon Hara. I often say, if you don't want to speak Lashon Hara, I've got a foolproof way. Never speak. If you don't want to ever be a glutton and ever contradict gluttonous eating or eat things which aren't kosher 100%, never eat. But of course, in life, we're called upon to speak, to eat, to interact. So we have to think of another strategy. And what is that strategy? The foolproof way. And it is so hard to live by this. The foolproof way is this. If you don't want to speak badly about other people, you have to start thinking positively about people. If you can judge people favorably, if you can reframe their actions into a favorable conception and see the positive in them and think of them in that way in terms of your mental paradigm, then we won't speak negatively about them. It is as simple as that and as hard as that. Judging other people favorably, one of the hardest things to do. You know, I find it unbelievable. We spend all of, let's call it the Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur period, the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, the 4 days leading up to Rosh Hashanah, saying something that we know called Slichot. We stand and we ask for forgiveness. But the centerpiece of the forgiveness is something known as the 13 attributes of divine mercy. We chant and chant again from chapter 34 in the book of Exodus. What do we say? Hashem, Hashem, Kel Rachum, V'chanun, Erech Apayim. We say this tens, if not hundreds of times over the Aseret Yemei Teshuva and beyond. We say the God who is a merciful God, a gracious God, a kind God, slow to anger, who overlooks sin, etc., etc. And often think to myself, what are we doing? We spend so much time. Is it a magical chant that if we say enough times that God is merciful, somehow he will forgive us? How does it work? Is it a magical formula? And I found an unbelievable example in the Eitz Yosef in his commentary on the Talmud. The Talmud says in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, we can find this in Masechet Rosh Hashanah, page 17b. Rabbi Yochanan says, every time the Jewish people are in times of difficulty, what they need to do, calls man shi Yisrael chotim, whenever the Jewish people sin, ya'asu lefanai kaseh razeh, they need to do before me this formula of the 13 attributes of divine mercy. But amazingly, says the Eitz Yosef, the Talmud does not say they must say before me the 13 attributes of divine mercy. The Eitz Yosef says, ya'asu lefanai, they must do, act, implement before me these 13 principles. And now we have the answer. What we are doing by chanting throughout the entire period of realigning our lives with God's will, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, before and after the entire period, what are we saying? We are saying, Hashem, just like you are merciful, we want to be like you. We want to be merciful. Just like you are gracious, we want to be gracious. Just like you overlook sin, we want to overlook sin. And amazingly, the Talmud says exactly this. The book of Micha, the book Micah, says as follows, Nosei Avon, over al pesha, God overlooks sin and overlooks iniquity. And listen to what the Talmud says. Kol ha'mavir al midotav, anyone who overlooks the wrongs of others and is prepared to forgive them, ma'avirin lo al kol pesha'av, God overlooks all of our sins, as it says, shenemar nosei avon v'over al pesha. To who, the Talmud says, does God overlook their sins? Lemi nosei avon? Who is the one which merits God saying, whatever you have done, I will consider forgiving? Lemi shover al pesha, to the person who overlooks the misgivings of others. I think to myself, Ribono shel Olam, we walk around judging other people unfavorably and then somehow think God is going to judge us favorably. If we cannot see the good in others, how do we expect God to see the good in us? If we never forget the misgivings and iniquities and we bear grudges and we never forget, how do we rebonish al olam? How do we expect God to treat us in that way? And there are so many other sources to back it up. I'll just mention one other. It says in Masechet Shabbat, Kuf Kaf Zayin, page 127b, Hadan et chavero lechav zechut, a person who judges his friend favorably, danin otolischut, God judges us favorably. You see, we create our own reality. What goes around comes around. It is an immutable truism of life. Immutable. What we put out there is what comes back to us, measure for measure. What we reap is what we sow. And therefore, if we judge other people unfavorably, then unfortunately that divine judgment reflects back on us. One of the hardest things to do, but we have to realize if we are to judge, and sometimes we are called upon to make judgments in life, we can only judge people's actions and never the person themselves. This perhaps explains what the source we mentioned, Hevei dan et kol ha'adam l'chav zechut, says the verse, the quote from the Mishnah, in the name of Yeshua ben Prachya, chapter 1, Mishnah 6, judge the entire person favorably. It says not the person, the entire person. And the Sfat Emet says, the great Geira Rebbe, that whenever you look to judge a person, look at them in their entirety. There's always silver linings. There are always mitigating circumstances. We can never sum up an individual purely by the total of their behavioral patterns that we see. And we have to be very, very careful to distinguish between a person's actions that sometimes we're called upon to judge and to judge the person as a person themselves. And may we all in our lives, where so often from the moment we get up, we see other people and sometimes we have the urge to make an unfair conceptual judgment, which often leads us to think of them in a negative way and to share that Lashon Hara with other people. May we all realize that there are always mitigating circumstances. May we all realize that we often are not in the other person's position. We don't have their needs, their desires, their challenges, their idiosyncrasies. We often don't even know all of the facts. I'll just perhaps share one story before I conclude, that this happened to me, and there are so many stories, the other side of the story, that we simply do not know all the facts. It happened to me personally. So many stories I could share. I was once in a plane, international flight, and I was getting comfortable in my chair, and a lady in front of me, her and her husband, they were trying to sleep, put their chairs back, and the individual next to me, for some reason, felt the need. He needed to go to the bathroom, we understand that, but he felt the need to climb over me without asking me to move. He pushed their chair quite angrily as he went over. Perhaps he was in a rush. We'll judge him favorably. He was in a rush. But what he did was he pushed their chair, woke both of them up, and quickly ran over my chair to go to the bathroom. This husband and wife turned around and looked at me with dagger eyes, staring at me as, what type of human being am I that just pushes their chairs? They, of course, didn't have all of the facts. They didn't realize that the individual next to me had left half a second ago that they didn't see, and indeed it was him. I didn't want to frame him. I didn't know what to say. But in this case, they simply did not know all the facts, but were absolutely convinced that it was me who did this particular thing to them. So we often, 9 out of 10 times, don't have all the facts. It's hearsay. We see, we think, we don't know all of the facts. Secondly, even when we do, we have to realize somehow that we don't only judge the person by that specific action. We look at all of their actions as a human being. We look at all of their positives, and we never ever judge the individual only based on specific behavior. May we all realize and live by this principle that the way we judge others is the way Hashem judges us.